Good evening, everybody. This is for March 29th, 2018. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. A lot of topics to cover tonight. The main science topic I'll be dealing with, some lessons on astronomy. So that's something that, unfortunately, I've seen what they teach in schools regarding astronomy, and it's just horribly pathetic, along with pretty much most of the other science. So I'll be discussing science, education, astronomy, and some fun facts about astronomy that will pretty much blow the cover on what they're teaching your kids. And this is the issue, is education. Or should I say bad education? First of all, a few announcements. And if you missed last week, I made the announcement that I was a finalist in the Water Abundance X Prize. So I'm very proud of this. I'm not going to dwell too much on this other than if you go to my page, there is a fundraiser, and it has taken off very slowly. Let's just put it that way. And people have told me they don't see where they can donate. There's a little button at the very top that is for any amount, like if you want to put $5 or $10 or whatever. And but people have complained that the page, which is not my design, it's the design of the fundraiser, is kind of difficult to follow. But anyway, it's a standard format, so if you're familiar with Indiegogo or the fundraiser, then all of the pages for Indiegogo are the same. But at any rate, the other purpose of that, of course, is to generate interest with investors because, as I mentioned last week, it's going to take a lot of money, but the thing that can help is if a lot of people are putting in $5 or $10, that just means that they are supporting it. That doesn't mean that that's going to get up to the level of funding that I need, but it just shows people that there's support out there, and that's not been happening. There's only like, you know, maybe less than 10 donations up to this point, some of them fairly significant. But anyway, just mentioning that, I was just surprised that pretty much nothing, maybe one or two little things, but pretty much nothing has come from my audience. Anyway, just a comment, because, you know, I do this show for free every week. People listen, people like it. And then when I ask for something, even a small donation, I don't see that. And it's not so much the money, $5 or $10 is great, but it's the idea that there are a lot of people out there that support this and think it's a good deal. It's that I've been doing a lot. And I spent, you know, the last 6 months working on this. And like I say, it's going to take quite a bit to bring this up to the point where it's going to benefit people out there, including you. Eventually, we'll be able to hopefully have energy that comes from the wind, real energy, not the goofy stuff that you see, these three-blade wind generators. If you've ever driven through a field of these, none of them are ever turning, maybe one or two, and that's because there's a motor in there, or the extensive amount of solar panels that are being installed, which only work a couple hours of the day and really don't solve the problem. So their solution is to put in massive, massive battery banks. But let me explain something. When people talk about green energy or clean energy and they talk about the three-blade wind generator or the solar panels, that it's not clean energy. If you understood the physical destruction of the earth that it takes to make one solar panel or one three-blade wind generator, it's phenomenal. The ecological damage to earth to put these out there is beyond phenomenal. Or the batteries, the lithium-ion batteries. To make a lithium-ion battery, the lithium is not like gold or silver where it's in veins in the earth and it's not in an isolated place. So you have to take vast areas and push a slew. It's kind of like fracking where you push a slew of water into the ground and force it out and then clean it up with a chemical process to the point where you have it concentrated enough to make a lithium-ion battery. And you probably don't notice it, but there are parts of the world that are being absolutely destroyed with this process of extracting lithium. So the point is that these are not green energy by any stretch of the imagination. Lithium-ion batteries, and they're wonderful. They're really great, very high density, energy density, etc. And they last a long time. That's another thing, that if the power companies are going to really be stressing these on an industrial level, they're going to have to replace them. And I noticed, for example, Xcel Energy has a program right now. I don't quite understand all the ins and outs, but there's a big battle up in Minnesota, the home state of Xcel Energy, which they cover many states with their network of power distribution, generation, and distribution. They want to put in what amounts to more lithium-ion batteries than exist in the world today before 2023, and the magic word is because of government subsidies. The subsidies will run out in 2023, so they are ordering massive banks of lithium-ion batteries just to get them installed before the credits run out. This is this is all about you paying for their investment, so-called investment, before the credits run out. This year, there's been a sharp decline in the installation of three-blade wind generators. Why? Because the government subsidies went away. These businesses would not be there if it were not for government subsidies. They're not profitable. In Europe, Germany, other countries, the three-blade wind generator companies, the ones that manufacture them, are going out of business. They're merging. They're doing anything they can do to stay in business because the government subsidies have gone away. They have lived a lavish lifestyle off of government subsidies. But that's the initial side. That's the installation side. And you'll always see, now this is something I want to educate you, my audience, on. When you see the major power companies or a government or an association or the American Wind Energy Association or Xcel Energy, when you see or any of the other big companies that are installing these around the world, they talk about will provide up to, and then they give this absolutely phenomenal amount of energy that these will produce for 4 million homes or 400,000 homes. Well, that's at peak capacity. They never, ever will get up to peak capacity because within the first year, many of them will already be having mechanical problems where they don't operate. That's why all of those are sitting out there not moving, because they're just locked. They got a brake on them. They don't spin because they have problems, and nobody's going out to fix them because it costs money to fix them. So they just let them sit there. And the power company is fine with that. They're still operating their key business, which is generating electricity from coal or nuclear or natural gas. And the coal plants are starting to fail because of economics. It's cheaper right now because of fracking in North Dakota, etc., which is also very destructive of the land and ruining underground water supplies. But that's invisible because they're getting natural gas and it's cheap. And so the coal plants are going under because they can't compete with the lower cost of the power plants operated with natural gas. And it's kind of a sick game, because as coal-fired power plants go under financially, then the coal plants that remain can become profitable because there's less competition. During the peak times, the coal plants which remain, then they use that peak time to generate more electricity, and that's their profit margin, very, very small. And so electricity, they are saying that alternative energy is becoming competitive with the coal plants. But there again, that's a lie. It's because if the wind is not blowing in an area, then there's the power plant has to run at full capacity. And typically what they do, they have the ability to shut off all the alternative energy, and that's what happens. So people that are now the states, just another third part of this equation, the states have subsidies for people to install solar on their houses, and they're pushing solar. And the reason being, they say you could save up to 75% of your electric bill by putting in solar, and they will pay for the installation or whatever. But there again, here's an industry that could not function if it were not for these major government subsidies. And so the people put in the solar panels, they think they're going to be green, it's a grid connect, they don't have any batteries, and then all of a sudden they find out that their electric bill has gone up. And they go, well, we put in these solar panels, we've got a $20,000-$25,000 investment in the solar panel deal, and typically it's on a loan of some kind. And they start to pay the loan back, and they realize that their electric bill has gone up. And so they start calling around, and they can't get any answers. And the real reason is because the power company has the ability to shut them off and not accept power from them. The reason being is because the power company cannot manage the fluctuations in alternative energy. When the cloud comes by, all of a sudden they drop down and they don't produce, and all of a sudden the cloud leaves and it's sunny and the power goes up. And the power company can't deal with that because the power company has the de facto control of the voltage, which never should have been. It should have never been that way. The voltage should have always been controlled somewhere near the house or the business or whatever, because the power company cannot control the voltage. They do a terrible job. Every 2 or 3 minutes, the power plant is changing its output to match demand. And they have to do that to maintain the voltage at like 120 or 220 at your house. And it typically comes in as a 220 volt. And then it's broken down into two pieces, and that gives you 115 volts that you plug your toaster into. But the power company can't do that. There's brownouts, there's surges, there's and so that's why many people, for your electronics, you have a UPS, a universal power supply, and that controls the voltage at your expense for your television, for your computers, and other sensitive, the router, for example. So you're already paying for this equipment to control the voltage, and silently, the power company goes on with their edict that they should be controlling the voltage. So anyway, this is a power and energy distribution generation is a big scam. There are some people that are paying exorbitant, huge amounts for electricity, especially if you're in, say you're in the Caribbean, where they're burning number two motor oil to generate electricity, tremendously expensive. Or in other places where they're, you know, generating electricity by other means. Nuclear is getting to be more expensive. The nuclear plants, the nuclear fuel is becoming more expensive, and of course they don't have a place to store it. I made a suggestion the other day, and I've made this many times, that nuclear, well, it'll probably just price itself out of the business very soon. And for that reason, nuclear power plants may start shutting down. But there's no national effort to conserve. There's no national effort to go out and say, hey, look, you got to turn those light bulbs off when you're not using them. When you come in the house, you flip on all the lights. Yeah, it's nice to have all those bright lights on in your house. But that's costing. We could shut down all the nuclear power plants today by simply conserving 9% of the power we use, electricity. You know, turn the computer off, put it to sleep when you're not using it, or the yard light. You know, don't burn the yard light all night. or whatever. Just save on electricity. 9%, that's not much. We all waste 9%. Install energy-conserving light bulbs. If you're in a factory, shut down the three-phase motors when they're not running, or run off compressors, charge up the compressor tanks, and then shut down the three-phase motors. Very simple. We could save 9% like falling off a log. And nobody is doing this. We could do that and shut down these nuclear reactors, which, you know, they're regenerating nuclear bomb fuel to run in these. We are short on nuclear fuel, and of course the big scandal, which is a true scandal, which is colluding with the Russians at the highest level of treason, is giving them 20% of control over the uranium. And, you know, the United States, in the very beginning, the United States had its own uranium. Remember the guys that became millionaires? When I was a little kid, they would go out in the desert with a Geiger counter, and they would detect veins or regions where there was uranium, and they were making millions. These guys make a lot of money by being desert rats, basically, walking around the desert with a Geiger counter. But the United States uranium, its natural uranium, was used up a long time ago. So we're dependent on foreign sources. And so the giving away of 20% of our uranium by Clinton in the State Department was, I mean, this is just beyond, you know, to Russia. Colluding with Russia, excuse me, boys and girls. Excuse me. Anyway, but that's another story. But electricity is changing very quickly. A lot of states, like, say, New York, has a program to put in tremendous offshore wind farms in hopes of supporting their energy-hungry state. That, you know, New York City, the biggest city in the country, well, L.A. and New York, I don't know which one is bigger, but they're both energy-hungry. And so New York, Governor Cuomo is trying to put in an installation offshore. Massive installation of wind generators, but these, you know, they don't work. They don't work. It's going to be a pig with lipstick, as I say. A friend of mine uses that expression. I love it because it really tells you what's going on. But they're going to put this massive investment. It's going to be done. It's going to be out there. It's going to ruin the environment. It's going to ruin fishing. How can the people who do offshore fishing go and fish around all of these cement pillars that are down in the ocean? You know, it's just a big mess that they have discovered because of the three-blade wind generators develop so much noise and vibration that the fish leave. So they ruin the fishing grounds, and then they don't produce electricity. And there's no contract for anybody to take them down if they're not working. Once they go defunct, and that's why you see all of these big fields, thousands, tens of thousands. The United States has about 88,000 three-blade wind generators right now, probably close to 100,000 at this point. Most of them not working because of mechanical problems. And you can see this. But so why do they keep putting them in? Because of government subsidies. Yeah. At any rate, the power companies love them, because they will never compete against the central power company. Okay, anyway, I'll just quick mention that the wind generator does not need subsidies. It does not need government support. It can be installed and replace coal and nuclear and natural gas power plants one for one, or about 5 to 1, 5 wing generators to 1 power plant. And so there's going to be major legal battles in the future over this, because the power companies don't see it coming. They, you know, in the back of their mind, they may hope it's not going to happen. But anyway, the wing generator, just to give you an update, I know a lot of people have followed this for a long time, it's developing, a lot of stuff going on in the background, and so all I can tell you is that it's here to stay. It's being selected in the XPRIZE. By the way, just a quick mention, the judging panel for the XPRIZE, for which I'm a finalist, one of the five finalists, was a very interesting group, including people from government agencies that deal with three-blade wind generators and things like that. So very interesting. Somebody is recognizing what or the value of the wing generator. Okay, so enough about energy, but it's important for the public to understand that this is the most important thing in your life. And it's preventing you, by the way, from having electric cars. There's a growing problem with charging electric vehicles, and it's not really something that is mentioned in the mainstream media. The problem is the people, the growing fleets of electric cars, they're wonderful, etc., but they get their electricity from the same place your toaster does, from the nuclear and coal power plants. So as more people get electric and the schemes for paying for that electric grow, the power companies, once again, this introduces a new user in the equation. And once again, it's not like you going home and turning on your air conditioning or something. The power companies have that down. But charging your automobile is not something, it's more random. You charge your automobile when it runs out of electricity or when it's close to like your gas tank. So they can't predict this. And so it's much more difficult to predict when you decide to take a cross-country trip. You're not charging your car up at home and you take a cross-country trip. It's hard to predict all of these patterns. It's not like the normal household pattern that they're used to in controlling their power supply at the power plant. So anyway, not only that, but it's a major use. Just like, say, crypto mining announcement just came out in Canada that during the winter months, they will not support crypto mining because it takes too much energy. And Canada is an interesting case where they sell a lot of their hydroelectricity to the United States. They have put in at government subsidy, and they're still subsidizing all of these tens of thousands of wind generators that line the lakes up there, the northern side of the Great Lakes. They're subsidizing these, some of them up to $1 million a year to the people that installed these. So that's just a big cash pool coming out of the people's pockets who pay for electricity in Canada. So they're not getting the benefit of hydro, of which they have tons. They're not getting the benefit of the three-blade wind generators, of which they have tons, because they don't work. They're sitting there idle. And they're paying for nuclear power that comes out of the eastern big nuclear power plants. And this runs across Canada to the populous area of Canada in the east, Ontario, Quebec and Ontario. They're paying astronomical prices for electrical energy. And, you know, there's, while all of these boondoggle programs are going on, and they're selling their hydro to the United States for a fraction of the value. So the Canadians are, excuse me, Canadian people, it's time for a major activity. You know, I won't say what the activity should be, but man, these politicians up there are robbing you blind. And electricity energy is a major, major factor in anybody's, in any business equation of profit and loss. Or the people up there paying for electricity. A lot of Canadians heat their homes with electricity. They don't have the natural gas infrastructure like we have in the United States. So a lot of the Canadians heat their homes with electricity, which is pretty high price. And by the way, that's one of the benefits of the wing generator, is you can heat your house with it directly. It's a very interesting concept that when the wind is blowing, you will heat your house for free. And that's when typically you need more heat because the wind is drawing the heat out of the house very much more rapidly. So anyway, that's a concept which is on the proposal table, let's put it that way, and could be a big boon to people in those areas, or also run air conditioning. If the wind is blowing hard, then your air conditioner has to work harder, and that could help run the compressors, etc. So, well, enough of that, but it's important to understand the dynamics of what is going on in the energy industry today, and the, well, if you want to call it collusion, there's no place with more collusion than the energy industry, I guarantee you that. Okay, now here's an article that should receive honorable mention for bad science. Let's just put it that way. It comes out of the Washington Post, which is a completely owned deep state operative news outlet. And I get a kick out of this. The Washington Post, their motto, "Democracy dies in darkness." Excuse me, the Washington Post, probably the worst owned, controlled news media on the planet, along with the New York Times and the MSNBC or CNN, completely owned news media, controlled, coordinated. Anyway, in a section called Speaking of Science, here's the title. It says, "An alien star sideswipes our solar system and sent comets reeling, scientists say." I always love this when scientists say. But here's an article that clearly shows that they're desperate to take over the narrative of comets coming into the solar system, Planet X, or whatever. And so this is talking about a star called Scholz Star, S-C-H-O-L-Z, it's spelled Scholz Star, and its accompanying brown dwarf companion that allegedly flew by the solar system 70,000 years ago, and that would have potentially, they say, thrown thousands of comets into the solar system that could have been seen by Neanderthal man. And so that's rather comical because, first of all, they don't really know it has a companion. They look at certain symptoms of this star, which would suggest that it has a companion. But that's not the issue. The whole issue, which I started reporting back when, was that it was very clear from the studies that I had seen that Planet X, which was a real object, in the solar system, had a companion. And it turned out when Hale-Bopp was discovered, it had a companion, much to the negation of the entire astronomical community. And that companion stayed with Hale-Bopp for a good part of its entry into the solar system. But that was one of the big bones of contention, was that Hale-Bopp, the astronomical community said, did not have a companion. Well, it did. And proof of that is at the Canary Islands Conference on Hale-Bopp, the first two discussions were about the companion of Hale-Bopp. Yeah. Anyway, this is just such a strange article because, okay, so we have this rogue star that supposedly comes near our solar system, and that brings up the point. Okay, so it missed, but what about, could there be other ones that are the same size rogue stars that might come closer to our solar system that nobody's discovered yet, that are, you know, but the point is that the professional astronomical community through the Washington Post is trying to take over this narrative that somehow comets came into our solar system. Now you got to step back for a minute here and think, well, if comets came through the solar system, then some of them could have been captured and some of them could have come back and been part of the Velikovsky story that eventually became the planet Venus. And, of course, they never mention this, but they're trying to create a narrative where they control the topic of comets coming into the solar system. And so this was idea of being sideswiped by this star system was, it says, first raised 3 years ago by Rochester astronomer Eric Mumbajack or so, whatever. And he and his colleagues had noted something strange. There were two small dim stars orbiting the other one, or so that had a companion, in other words. And it was just 20 light years from Earth. So 3 years ago, astronomers decided that this could have caused a barrage of comets coming into the solar system 70,000 years ago. And allegedly, the Neanderthals would have seen this. So there's two aspects of this. One is, first of all, the 70,000 years time frame is, you know, in putting Neanderthals back there, and then trying to imply that Neanderthals saw this. Now, this is interesting because just recently there's been brought to light cave drawings, and I've talked about this on the show, that show that the intelligent man goes back much farther than 70,000 years ago, and the standard evolution model of man, which is totally bogus, we know that there were very advanced civilizations on planet Earth in the distant past. We don't know really much about them. We find remnants of them in the distant past that were highly advanced, but that has never made it into the standard theology of evolution of man. So now, in this same article, they're going back 70,000 years and just out of the air, claiming that Neanderthals saw this. Isn't that interesting? So do you see how they just kind of slide this in as if this was common knowledge? And, you know, adapting, this is what I call the creeping crud, adapting to and taking over stories. So then they have a picture, an artist's conception of a Neanderthal standing there with his spear, looking up into the sky, seeing this star, and then, of course, experiencing comets coming into the solar system. Okay, enough of that, but it's just, once again, the fake science news trying to take over narratives, and that's all this is about. I had to laugh. This is a story that somebody sent in, that MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, it says, created, there were two things they created. One was something that, a little box that extracts water from the air, and it looked like maybe a really poor third grade science fair entry. And then they supposedly invented something that takes electricity out of the air, and it's a little box, basically a heat exchanger that allegedly gets enough energy to run in a 1950s Japanese transistor radio or less. And so, you know, and then they show a picture of this up on top of the building at MIT. And both of these look like, I mean, a third grade science project, you know, maybe they would, you know, get recognition. But this is MIT, and I'm going, oh, my God, is this the state of things today where MIT is touting putting this thing? And by the way, these are known technologies. There's nothing amazing or new about what they're doing here. But to just think that they're somehow getting press and maybe even behind the scenes getting money to do this, oh, my goodness, absolutely insane. Speaking of which, this is a little side note. In the past months, of course, because of the wing generator and everything that goes with it, I've been involved in looking into grant and funding and government projects, et cetera. And I'm amazed that it's almost impossible to fit one of these programs, and one in particular I won't mention by name, but they want to offer less than $200,000 grant money for people to develop so-called alternative energy. And there's so much legalese that it's virtually impossible for anybody to comply with all of this. And with all the rules and regulations, etc., it's just, I'm just amazed I'm just absolutely amazed that you can see why real innovation cannot happen in this country when it comes from the government, because literally it doesn't matter if the project is good or not. If it looks good on paper, that's what's important. So anyway, that's why I work independently. That's why, you know, somebody offers me, and I've had offers here for grant money or different things like that, and I turn it down. I say, you know, your rules, regulations, you know, I'm not gonna deal with them. And then they want to give you a pittance of money. It's just, you know, it's just ridiculous, because you spend all of your time following the rules and not accomplishing anything. It's like that Saturday Night Live skit where they are going around doing all this other stuff and not sailing the ship. You know, it's one of those cases. So all I'm saying is that whenever you start looking at government things, you just find so much ignorance in the, not so much in the staff, there might be very good staff there, but in the process that's laid on top of this good intention to prevent real progress from happening, and to the point where I can't even use it. I cannot enter into some kind of government agreement where they want you to fly up there every month and dot I's and cross T's to make sure you're not misconstruing their extremely small amount of money and all the administration that goes on top of this. It's just not workable. So anyway, that's why I remain independent. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing with the facilities and resources that I can muster up myself. And it's unfortunate, but that's what keeps the big power companies in power. That's what keeps true alternative energy from developing faster. And in fact, I like that. I was on a radio show the other day, and somebody said that the wind generator is the alternative to alternative energy. So I like that. I like that that phrase. Just a quick comment, some of the reality in the recent March on Washington, the so-called student march, which they were filled the mall, etc., in Washington, D.C., and it turns out that only about 5% of the people there were students. And those numbers came out, and in fact, every group, I'm not sure what you would call them, subculture of society decided to go up and join this group. And then when they interviewed them, when they walked up and down the street interviewing these people, asking, why are you here? They go, well, I'm here because, and they couldn't answer. They couldn't even answer the simple question. They didn't know why they were there, and they were not students. So this was not a student march. It was 95% subcultures. You could tell the way they were dressed, the way they talked, the way they acted. And there was one girl that sat there and she said, we have to kill the president and the vice president. And then she wanted to kill people. And it's like, what? This is, you know, just strange behavior. So the tremendous March on Washington looked like a gathering place for, I'm not sure what, we'll just call them subcultures of the United States, of which there are many, many, many. But it was not a student march, so let's get that straight. Less than 5% of the people there were students. And what else is interesting is this Michael Hogg character, who was interviewed by CNN and everybody else as a survivor, made it to 60 Minutes and National Anti-Gun, whatever, wasn't even at the school when the shooting occurred. He admitted on one of his interviews he wasn't even at the school. And I saw videos of him playing where he's allegedly interviewing a young lady during the shooting. And he's asking her, how do you feel? And she says, oh, I'm just really scared. We got to get rid of all these guns. And in that interview, he says that it is believed that it's Nicholas Cruz doing the shooting, Now, this video came out right away, which means that it was pre-recorded. So he was accusing Nicholas Cruz of doing the shooting in a pre-recording that was done prior to the event, and he was not even at the school. He was at home. He said he got on his bicycle with his camera and rode down to the school. Now, why would you ride your bike down to the school where there was a mass shooting going on? Excuse me. And then start interviewing and taking pictures. I mean, this story is falling apart so fast. And now this is the main point, is that the Florida midterm election, there are 11 Democratic House seats up for re-election. And, of course, the Florida Democrats are involved in a lot of corruption charges, along with Debbie Wasserman Schultz being accused. Her aide was the one that is being indicted and in trial right now. From Pakistan, that they were involved in hacking Congress for information, and that's all going on. That was Debbie Wasserman Schultz's assistant. So it totally changes the public narrative to gun control. And so now they're going to try and amass all the student marches and protests, and obviously that's going to be a main talking point in these elections, that there has to be gun control, drowning out the corruption discussions that go on in that area. But anyway, you can see the other issue is that there's a tremendous amount of evidence growing, that the sheriff deputies did not go in. In fact, the police did not go in to the building. The paramedics did not go in. And so there's more and more indication that this was a planned event. This was a staged shooting to change the narrative from, to benefit, obviously. And then the Democrats immediately went out and, on the name of gun control, started raising money for the Democratic campaign, which was faltering. So you can see, follow the money. Anyway, this leads up to the topic of, if you look at the Washington marches, etc., the movie called The Hunger Games, in which the country has an elitist group that rules everything by deception and ultimately physically enslaves the population, where they see and benefit from the Hunger Games about everybody killing everybody and there only being one survivor. And this is for the enjoyment of the ruling class. And if you look at that movie, there's a scene in there where somebody's giving a talk. And it's surrounded. The audience is not out in front. They're all around. They're all around and back, so you can see them, and they all have their strange futuristic hairdos and things like that. But it reminded me of a talk that I saw Obama give in a group just like that, and was basically the world banking elite, in which he was talking talking about literally the same thing, the one world government. So we're already facing this, and what's going on in the United States right now is really, there's a battle going on in the background for the future, literally what's going on. So I want people to be aware of this, coming back to the March on Washington, that it was not a student march. It was a subculture march with millions of people that had the weekend off, headed up to Washington just for the clam bake. And just another quick notice, I have to raise the prices of my water filter packages on my webpage because of shipping. A year ago, it cost me $12 to ship, which is pretty exorbitant, I feel, to ship probably $15 to ship 10 filter elements, or maybe $18 if it was going from the warehouse across country. Now it costs $30. Because the weight of a $5 water filter now goes by dimensional weight, and it goes as a 10-pound item because of dimensional weight, whatever that is. So anyway, I wrote a note here, and I thought, gee, it'd be amazing if Trump could you know, investigate this. And so just yesterday, he must have been reading my mind. He goes, why is Jeff Bezos getting a shipping for a package for $1.70, and the same person who runs a small business has to pay $7? Wait a minute, what's this? The post office is hundreds of millions of dollars in the red. UPS or FedEx or whatever are charging exorbitant rates to ship things to the public, but these mass consumers of shipping like Amazon or others, eBay, get tremendous discounts, almost nothing. And so, once again, this comes back to the Hunger Games. The elite running all of these major industries and squeezing out the man on the, you know, the hometown businesses, which are the heart and fabric of this country. So shipping, unfortunately, I have to raise my prices because I have free shipping on a lot of things, but I just have to include something to make this up because it's literally doubled in the last year and I can't keep paying these astronomical prices out of the part that is left over for me that leaves very little. And so anyway, expect a raise in pricing there. I do have to do work on the homepage and I've been sacrificing that because of all the work going into the wing generator, but I'll get back there and I'll be raising prices on the water filter stuff. And also all of my book things will be, I have to upgrade the buttons so that they work. The old order buttons stopped working quite a while ago, and I have not had time to get in there. So that's all going to happen this weekend. I have to do that. But unfortunately, so if you see prices go up, if you can get there before the prices go up, lucky you. But this is absolutely absurd that the shipping is costing this much. It cannot cost that much to ship a little box weighing 4 pounds across the country. That's going to cost $25 to ship. That's what it costs now, to ship four filter elements, $25. Just another little fun fact here. I didn't know this before. I had always said that Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, along with Susan Rice and a lot of other people, but it turns out that Bill Clinton never completed the program of being a Rhodes Scholar. So he started and he continued to claim that he was a Rhodes Scholar when in fact he was not. So that's just a little fun fact that I found out this weekend from an insider that knew him. And at the time, the reason he didn't complete the study at Oxford is because he went to Russia, where they were doing some underhanded dealings. And so his collusion with Russia started way back then. And, of course, Hillary had already hitched her wagon to him at that time because they had gone to law school together, etc. But anyway, the level of corruption goes way back. And then they took it to Washington, and the rest is history. From the little sleepy little state of Arkansas, where they were, if you have followed this, and I hope that you all know about this now, the Clintons were involved with the Bushes, involved in the Mena, Arkansas cocaine drug trade, where they were laundering hundreds of millions of dollars. And all of that paper trail is there now. And why these people still walk the streets free is beyond me. And that's just the beginning of the crime wave that followed these people. Okay, so talking about astronomy and education, I'm not going to dwell on the issue, bad education that you're getting in school or your kids are getting, but there's a reason for this. There's a reason for the incredible dearth, the lack of real science education, because if kids know science, then they know logic. If they know logic, they can reason. If they can reason, that it's much more difficult to pull the wool over their eyes in terms of, say, political agendas or political maneuvering. So science is instrumental. So science has become memorize the facts, listen to what Carl Sagan says. He's smart. You're dumb. If you can just memorize the facts that they tell you, they've already done the homework. They know that everything they're telling you is correct. And all you have to do is believe them. And if you write that down, what they tell you on a test, you get an A, you're smart, you advance. If you don't write that down on the test, then you don't get a good grade, you don't advance. And that's the formula. So kids learn very early. It's like rewarding a squirrel for doing some little task and you give him a nut. Oh, okay, well, the squirrel goes out and does that. You know, and I feed birds. It's amazing to see the pecking order when you throw seed out. And I don't have different feeders. I just have one area. I just throw the food out there. And first come in the bigger birds. And they pick over until they're full. Then they fly away. Then the smaller birds come in. And you can see the smaller birds sitting out there waiting. And then when the big birds finally get done, if there's something left, the smaller birds come in and pick up the littler pieces. And they kind of peck at each other, you know, because they're, you know, feel that the other birds are eating their food. But you can train any animal based on giving them or rewarding them. And there's a pecking order. And so if you don't stand up in your pecking order, then, but what I think is cute is when some little birds will come in and they'll just fly in, and then the big birds get scared and spooked and they fly away. And the little birds stand there eating. So it's kind of like they gang up on the big birds. It's very interesting to see this literally pecking order going on in real life with the birds. But the same is true in science. But, of course, in science you have the grant funding, National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health, all the government agencies that give out money, and it's all within a framework. Nobody wants to upset the apple cart. Nobody wants to say, everything we're teaching these kids is pretty much bogus, because all of the textbooks reflect the same ideology, the same trend, the evolution, the atheism that's being forced on kids. Now, I found it interesting that I saw an interview with Chuck Norris. Here's a guy, million-dollar guy, you know, has plenty of money, and homeschools his kids. And so I thought he was sitting there with his wife, and basically here's a guy that could send his kids to any school on the planet. The best ones, the best one in his area, you know, et cetera. He homeschools their kids. And to have the values that they want, that they have chosen for their family. And I know a lot of people, and especially after the school shootings, now the schools are giving young girls drugs and young boys to make them, make the boys into girls and make the girls into boys. I know for a fact that when kids have trouble organizing or they're not getting their assignments done, which is typical of kids, even the good students, when they're little, they just want to go goof around. And it's the idea that you have to force kids to sit at a desk for 12 years during the most active part of their life is insane. And you could teach most, in fact, this is something I get from homeschooling people all the time, that they blow through these lessons on math and on study and history and English and other things. They go through these in a hurry, and the kids are off and running, studying various topics, starting little businesses, doing other things that the kids in schools are blocked from doing because they're sitting there, and by the time they get out of school, all they want to do is go run down the street and get crazy. I mean, you're taking kids and forcing them to sit at a desk, move from one room to the next for 12 years. And they don't teach them anything. It's everybody's learning from the same textbooks. And the worst part of this is science. Like I say, they don't teach logic. They don't teach how the scientific concepts came into vogue. There's no course of action for the students to question what they're being taught or to say anything. The teachers cannot say anything. they are locked into a curriculum that they put in at the beginning of the semester, the beginning of the year, based on a textbook, and that's all they can talk about. They cannot talk about anything else. They cannot insert a public personal opinion. They cannot insert a book that they read recently that they thought was interesting because it's not in the syllabus. They cannot do anything except what was written in the syllabus. So that locks them in. So the teachers simply are howdy doody, reading back from a textbook that's been approved. And the textbooks are approved because NASA or Standard Science has the dominant place of putting information into textbooks. And the textbook companies don't want to change anything. The textbooks industry is a massive, absolutely massive industry in this country. And it's something that's going unheard of. But it's very controlled. And if, for example, let's say a domino principle occurs where the dirty snowball comet model is incorrect, which blows the evolution concept of Darwinian evolution, which blows the idea that Velikovsky, you know, that they that something drastic happened, a great flood or a Venus event that was worldwide, which is not in the books, in the history books or in the astronomy books. These are the major events in human history. These are the events that had more formative change on the human population than any other event in all of history, and they're not taught at all. So education, the only way to educate your kids is out of the school system, plus now you run the risk that some yo-yo is going to come in, whether government-sponsored or just one of their local crazy guys that they have planted all over the planet. And that's, by the way, we're starting to be able to predict where the next shooting is going to be based on political information. We're actually running affirmative action to predict where the next shootings will be based on what we know their modus operandi is. But anyway, in terms of school, do you want to send your kid to a school where some crazy is going to run in and start shooting? No. I mean, schools are going to put themselves out of business. I know there was a case just recently where a teacher shot a shooter. After the shooter shot two students, the teacher had a gun and killed him, and now that never made the news, never made the news media. So at any rate, I am all for home education. I'm all for students. Get your own education. Start a business when you're young. Go on trips with your family. That's education. Do anything but take your kids out of school. Teach them that Google, Wikipedia, YouTube, Amazon, Facebook are all tools that will corrupt them. So this is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.